الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد، الحديث التاسع عشر عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: يا غلام، إني أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك، رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. رواه الترمذي. هذا الحديث عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. قال الشيخ صالح ابن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ونفع به: هذا الحديث عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما عن ابن عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو له ويقول: اللهم فقهه في الدين وعلمه التأويل، يعني التفسير، فكان آية من آيات الله في العلم وفي الفقه وفي تفسير القرآن، حتى لقب بترجمان القرآن وحبر الأمة رضي الله عنه. وكان طفلا صغيرا في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، توفي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو لم يبلغ الحلم، ومع هذا أعطاه الله هذا العلم الغزير وهذا الفهم العظيم ببركة دعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا غلام، الغلام هو الصغير. وهذا فيه دليل على العناية بالصغار وتوجيههم: إني أعلمك كلمات، يعني يسيرة، لكنها كلمات جوامع، لأن كلمات الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ليست ككلمات غيره. وهذا فيه أن العلم يؤخذ شيئا فشيئا، ويؤخذ كلمات يسيرة أول شيء ثم ينمو ويزداد، وليس يؤخذ العلم دفعة واحدة. قال: احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله يعني احفظ دينه، احفظ الله بفعل أوامره وترك نواهيه، واحفظ محارم الله باجتنابها. هذا حفظ الله، لأن الله جل وعلا لا يحتاج إلى حفظ، هو الذي يحفظ الناس ويحفظ الخلق والكون، إنما المراد أنه يحفظ دين الله جل وعلا. قوله احفظ الله هذا من قبل العبد، يحفظك هذا من قبل الله سبحانه وتعالى، فهو جزاء، والجزاء من جنس العمل. فإذا حفظت الله فإن الله يحفظك مما تكره في دينك ودنياك، فهذه ثمرة حفظ الله وحفظ أوامره ونواهيه. ثم قال: احفظ الله، هذا تأكيد تجده تجاهك. الأولى يحفظك، وهذه تجده تجاهك، يعني أمامك، وفي رواية تجده أمامك، بمعنى أن الله جل وعلا قريب من عباده سبحانه وتعالى، وأيضا هو جل وعلا يبادر إلى مثوبة عباده، كما في الحديث: من تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا، ومن أتاني يمشي أتيته هرولا، بمعنى أن الله يبادر سبحانه بالإثابة لمن أطاعه. فحفظ الله جل وعلا له فائدتان: الأولى أن الله يحفظك، الثانية أنك تجد الله قريبا منك. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا سألت فاسأل الله، إذا طلبت شيئا فاطلبه من الكريم المنان سبحانه الذي عنده خزائن السماوات والأرض. ولا تسأل الناس وسؤال غير الله على نوعين: الأول سؤال فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله، فهذا شرك أكبر، كالذين يدعون الأموات ويستنجدون بالموتى ويستغيثون بهم ويطلبون منهم الحوائج، فيأتي أحدهم عند القبر ويقول: يا فلان أغثني، ويا فلان كذا وكذا، يا ولي الله أعطني كذا، وهذا شرك أكبر. الثاني سؤال الناس فيما يقدرون عليه، وهذا جائز فيجوز لك أن تسأل إذا احتجت، لكن الأولى بالعبد أن يتعفف عن سؤال الناس، لأن في السؤال مذلة ونقصا في التوحيد. فاسأل الله جل وعلا الغني الكريم، فهو سبحانه ينزل إلى سماء الدنيا كل ليلة حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر، فيقول: من يسألني فأعطيه. وقال تبارك وتعالى: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، الاستعانة طلب العون. قال تعالى: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، فهي نوع من العبادة، وعطفها على العبادة من عطف الخاص على العام للاهتمام بها، وإلا فهو نوع من العبادة. والاستعانة مثل السؤال، إذا كانت الاستعانة بالمخلوق فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله فهي شرك أكبر، وإن كانت الاستعانة بالمخلوق في شيء يقدر عليه فهذا يجوز، لكن تركه أحسن، لأن فيه ذلة وحاجة إلى الناس، وكونك تستغني بالله عز وجل هذا أفضل لك. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمع الخلق كلهم على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، أي قدره وكتبه لك في اللوح المحفوظ، ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. فهذا فيه الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر، وأن الناس لا يقدرون على أن ينفعوك أو يضروك إلا بما كتبه الله لك على أيديهم من نفع أو ضر، فهم سبب فقط، وأما النافع الضار فهو الله جل وعلا، إذا أمرهم الله نفعوك، وإذا لم يأمرهم الله لم ينفعوك، وإذا أمرهم ضروك، فعليك الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف، معناه أن قضاء الله قدر وانتهى ولن يغير، فإن القضاء الذي قدره الله لا يغير. قوله رفعت الأقلام أي أقلام كتابة القضاء والقدر، وجفت الصحف التي كتبت فيها المقادير، فهذا فيه الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر، وهو وصية لابن عباس وغيره أنه يؤمن بالقضاء والقدر. فإذا آمن العبد بالقضاء والقدر فإنه يستغني بالله عن سؤال الناس وعن الاستعانة بالناس في الغالب.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سمعنا جميعا هذا الشرح المختصر المفصل لجزء من حديث طويل، والحديث في بيان تصحيح الاعتقاد، لأن العناية بتصحيح الاعتقاد دلت عليه نصوص الكتاب والسنة، إذ أن الله لا يقبل من الأعمال إلا ممن كان ذا عقيدة صحيحة. وأما أهل العقائد الفاسدة كالمشركين وغلاة أهل البدع، فهؤلاء لا يقبل الله عز وجل منهم بدعهم ولا دعاءهم بالألفاظ الشركية والمعاني التي لا يجوز أن تطلب إلا من الله عز وجل. فجاء في بدء الحديث في الوصية: احفظ الله يحفظك، وهو لفظ قليل يشمل معنى كثيرا لا يدخل تحت الحصر في مقام، لأن المراد بحفظ العبد لربه هو حفظ الدين بما فيه من أصول وفروع وأوامر ونواهي وحلال وحرام وأخبار وترغيب وترهيب وغير ذلك مما لا يدخل تحت الحصر في مقام واحد. ورتب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجزاء على العمل، فمن حفظ دين الله تبارك وتعالى وتعبد به وعرف بأنه خلق من أجل القيام بهذا الدين جازاه الله من جنس عمله، فكان معينا له وحافظا له وقاضيا لحاجاته الدينية والدنيوية. وهكذا التعرف إلى الله وما يترتب عليه، التعرف إلى الله بفعل الطاعات ما كان مفروضا وما كان واجبا وما كان منها مستحبا، كلها أعمال جليلة، إلا أن الفرائض والواجبات لا يجوز بحال التقصير فيها إلا ما عجز عنه الإنسان عجزا شرعيا. وأما التوحيد فبدؤه من القلب، والقلب ما دام صاحبه على قيد الحياة فهو قادر على تصحيح عقيدته والانتفاع بنصوص الكتاب والسنة فيما يتعلق بتوحيد الله في ألوهيته وربوبيته وأسمائه وصفاته وبالقضاء والقدر. والتعرف إلى الله تبارك وتعالى يترتب عليه الجزاء الحسن في الدنيا وفي البرزخ والآخرة، لذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. يعني ما دمت في أمن في صحة وقدرات واختيار وفي خير وبذلت جهدك في فعل الطاعات وترك المعاصي والجد والاجتهاد في العبادة مبتدئا بطلب العلم مع النية الخالصة والقصد الحسن لتعلم وتعمل وتعلم وتصبر على ذلك، على ما ينالك من صعوبات. قال يعرفك في الشدة، سواء من شدائد الدنيا أو من شدائد الحياة البرزخية أو الشدائد الأخروية. وهذا كرم من الله تبارك وتعالى، أنه يجازي عباده الذين يستقيمون على دينه في حياة العمل، يكون جزاؤهم يوم يواجه الخلائق شدائد عند سكرات الموت، وشدائد في الحياة البرزخية والسؤال في القبور، وشدائد يوم القيامة. قصها القرآن أتم القصص وأحسن القصص، من قرأ القرآن عرف ذلك. إذن فالحديث يحفز العقلاء ويجذبهم إلى أن يقيموا دين الله في أنفسهم وفي أهليهم وفي إخوانهم، بل وينشرونه بحسب قدراتهم واستطاعتهم. وجاء التوجيه متتابع لهذا الغلام، وهي وصية عامة للأمة إلى يوم القيامة. إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. وسمعنا التفصيل في السؤال. وأما الاستعانة فهي من أنواع العبادة التي يجب أن يخلص الإنسان فيها ويتوجه بها إلى الله تبارك وتعالى فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله. والسؤال كذلك، سؤال ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله لا يجوز أن يتوجه به السائل إلى غير الله. وما كان جائزا من الاستعانة والسؤال وطلب ذلك من المخلوق فهو في حدود تستعين بالمخلوق فيما يقدر عليه ولا محظور عليك فيه، وتسأل المخلوق كذلك ما تحتاج إليه ولم تنه عنه، وذلك في قضاء الحاجات الدنيوية كما يحتاج بعض الناس إلى بعض. وأما الإيمان بالقدر فكما درسنا فيما مضى أنه أعظم ركن من أركان الإيمان الستة، وأن من لم يؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره حلوه ومره فإنه لا إيمان له. لذا وجب على المسلمين والمسلمات أن يؤمنوا أن كل شيء بقضاء الله وقدره، وأن الله قد قضى وقدر ذلك قبل خلق السماوات والأرض وخلق الناس أجمعين، وجرى القلم الذي هو أشرف الأقلام جرى بالمقادير كلها، وما جرى به القلم قبل خلق المخلوقات لحديث أول ما خلق الله القلم ما جرى به من خير وشر على اختلاف تفاصيل ذلك، فإنه لا يتغير ولا يتبدل، غير أنه لا يجوز لأحد أن يفهم من ذلك ترك العمل، لأن الله قد قضى وقدر. وإنما لما سأل بعض أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله فقالوا ففيما العمل، لما ذكرهم بالقضاء والقدر قالوا ففيما العمل، قال اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. قالوا أفلا نتكل يعني على ما كتب؟ قال لا، اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له، أما من كان من أهل السعادة فسييسر لعمل أهل السعادة، وأما من كان من أهل الشقاء فسييسر لعمل أهل الشقاء، فما زادهم ذلك إلا جدا واجتهادا في الطاعة. وهذا هو الذي يجب، أن إذا قرأنا باب القضاء والقدر نؤمن بأنه حق، وأنه لا يتخلف ولا يتبدل ولا يتغير ما كتب، ولكن لا يزيدنا هذه الكتابة لا تزيدنا إلا نشاطا في الطاعة، لأن الله الذي قدر المقادير الخير والشر مكن عالم الإنس، مكنهم وأقدرهم على فعل ما أمر بفعله وترك ما نهى عن قربانه، وجعل لهم مشيئة تابعة لمشيئته، فلا عذر لأحد قصر في الطاعات وهو قادر على القيام بها، ولا عذر لأحد يرتكب المحرمات ويحتج بالقدر. فيجب أن يفهم القضاء والقدر على الوجه الشرعي والفهم الصحيح الذي اتفقت عليه نصوص الكتاب والسنة وعرف عن سلف الأمة.
هذا، وصلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وبعد. So hadith number 19. We have reached hadith number 19 on the authority of Abu al-Abbas Abdullah, the son of Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, who said, "One day I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to me, 'O young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. Be mindful of Allah, and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you seek help of Allah. Know that if the nation were together to benefit you with anything, it would not benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. And if they gathered together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried.'" This was related by Imam Tirmidhi, who said it was Hassan, sound, and Sahih, authentic. Yeah. And in another narration, it says, "Be mindful of Allah, you will find Him before you. Get to know Allah in prosperity, and He will know you in adversity. Know that what had passed you by was not going to befall you, and that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. And know that with help comes know that help comes with patience, relief with affliction, and ease with hardship." Naam. So we read after that from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, before we move on to the explanation of Sheikh Zayd Hafidullah. So Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, may Allah preserve him, he said, this hadith of the son of this hadith is on the authority of the son of Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, the cousin of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to supplicate for him. The Messenger used to supplicate for him, and he used to say, "Oh Allah, grant him the understanding in the religion, and teach him the interpretation." The Shaykh is saying here, ta'wil, meaning the interpretation, the tafsir of the Quran. So he was a sign from the signs of Allah in knowledge, in understanding, and in the tafsir of the Quran. Yes. So so much so that he was nicknamed Turjumal Quran. Yani he was the interpreter of the Quran, and Habrul Ummah. He was the great scholar of Islam. May Allah be pleased with him. And he was a young child in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a young child in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger had passed away before he'd reached the age of puberty. the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم passed away before Ibn Abbas reached the age of puberty. However, in spite of that, Allah Azza wa Jal, He gave him this deep knowledge and this great understanding. And this is from the blessing of the supplication of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Ghulam, O young boy. The Shaykh said, Ghulam here is the young person or young boy. And in this is an indication or is a proof that the person should look after the young ones. The person should look after the young ones and should guide them to the correct way. Then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will teach you some words. I will teach you some words. The Shaykh said, Shaykh Salih Fawzah Hafidullah, he said, words here meaning few words. They are few and easy to remember. However, they are comprehensive in their meaning. They are comprehensive in their meaning. Because the statements of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not like the statement of other than him. And in this is a proof that knowledge is taken bit by bit. In this is a proof that knowledge is taken bit by bit. So you take light or easy words at the beginning in the first stage, and then slowly it grows and increases. And the Sheikh said, and so it is not for the person, or knowledge should not be taken all in one go. Knowledge should not be all taken in one go. قَالَ اِحْفَظُ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ. So the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, he said to him, be mindful to Allah. Be mindful to Allah and Allah will preserve you. يعني the Sheikh said, اِحْفَظُ اللَّهَ, be mindful to Allah, meaning be mindful in his to his religion, or preserve his religion. Be mindful to Allah by following his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions. And also be mindful to Allah's prohibitions by staying away from them. And the Shaykh said, this is how you be mindful to Allah. This is the way the person can be mindful to Allah. For because Allah Jalla wa Ala, He does not need anyone to preserve him. So if you were to translate it, preserve him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not need anyone to preserve him or to look after him. Rather, He is the one who preserves the people, and He is the one who protects them, protects the people and looks after them. And He is the one who protects His creation and the whole universe. So the Shaykh said, the intent here is that the person, he is mindful of the religion of Allah. He follows and he sticks to the religion of Allah. قوله احفظ الله. So the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, be mindful to Allah. The Shaykh said, هذا من قبل العبد. This is from the from the side of the, or from the angle of the slave. نعم, this is in relation to the slave. And then احفظ الله يحفظك. Allah will be or Allah will protect you. Allah will preserve you. The Shaykh said, this is from Allah. So the person first be mindful to Allah. This is from the slave's perspective, and then after that, Allah will preserve him, and this is from Allah's perspective. So the Shaykh said, فَهُوَ جَزَاءٌ. This means that it is a reward for the action that the person does. If the person is mindful to Allah, then the reward is that Allah will preserve him. وَالْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. And the reward is according to the action the person did. The reward is according to the action that the person carried out. So if the person is mindful to Allah, then Allah will preserve him and will protect him from that which he dislikes in this in his religion and in this life. Naam. So if the person is mindful to Allah, then Allah will protect him and preserve him from anything which he dislikes in his religion and in his worldly life. So this is a fruit from the preservation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also this is the reward from that the person gets when he is mindful of Allah's commandments and prohibitions. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, احفظ الله. Again he said, be mindful to Allah. And the Shaykh said, this is for reassurance, again mentioning it, to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is stressing on it. And he says, تجده تجاهك. You will find him in front of you. You will find him. So be mindful to Allah and you will find him in front of you. The Shaykh said, the first one said, be mindful to Allah and Allah will preserve you. As for the second one, it says, be mindful to Allah and you will find him in front of you. The Shaykh said, this statement of you'll find him in front of you, meaning in front of you. Again, he used another synonym of the word, and he says, you'll find him in front of you. And another narration, تجده أمامك. Yes. So this narration would be, maybe you find him before you. And the Sheikh said in another narration, you find him in front of you. The meaning of this is Allah Jalla wa Ala is close to his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to his slaves. And he Jalla wa Ala, he loves to forgive his slaves. He loves to, and he rushes towards forgiving and accepting the repentance of his slaves, as in the hadith where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, من تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا ومن أتاني يمشي أتيت هرولا. Whosoever, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to his slave, whosoever comes to me or comes towards me a hand span, I'll come towards him يعني an arm's span. And whosoever comes to me walking, I'll come to him يعني skipping, you would say. So the meaning of this, the Sheikh said, is that Allah Azza wa Jal, he rushes and he jogging. The meaning of this, the Sheikh said, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he rushes towards granting his slaves forgiveness and accepting their repentance and rewarding those who obey him. So the preservation of Allah Jalla wa Ala has two benefits or has two advantages. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being mindful to Allah Jalla wa Ala, has two advantages. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve you and protect you. The second one is that you would find Allah close to you. You would find Allah Azza wa Jal near you. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you ask, then ask Allah. If you ask, then ask Allah. The Sheikh said, if you request anything, then ask the All Generous. If you want to request anything, then ask the All Generous One. The one who owns the heavens and the earth and what they contain. So do not ask the people. And the Sheikh said, asking other than Allah is of two types, or is of two categories. The first one, asking something of the people, asking the people something of which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do. Naam? So the Sheikh said, this is major shirk. So he said, asking the people asking other than Allah is of two types. The first one is asking the people something which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. And this is major shirk. Like those who supplicate to the dead, and they seek the salvation with the dead, and also they seek assistance from them, and they request from them to fulfill their needs. So one of them would come to the grave and he would say, oh so and so, aid me, or so help me, and so on. Or wali of Allah, or يعني, righteous person, or companion of Allah, help me, give me this, and so on. The Sheikh said this is shirk akbar, this is major shirk. The second type is asking the people that which they are able to do. Asking of the people that which they are able to do, and this is permissible. So it is permissible for the person to ask if he was in need, it's permissible for him to ask the people. But however, the Sheikh said that which is better and more recommended is that the person abstains from asking the people. It's better that the person he abstains from asking the people, because in asking the people is a humiliation. The person, when excessive asking leads to humiliation, and also leads to deficiency in the tawheed. Asking the people leads to deficiency in the tawheed. So ask Allah Jalla wa Ala, the self-sufficient one, or the all rich. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descends to the lowest heaven every night. The Sheikh continues, says Allah Almighty, he descends to the lowest heaven every night in the last third part of the night, and he says, who will ask me and I will give it to him? Who will ask me anything and I will give it to him? And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in a verse, and when my slaves ask you about me, then I am near. I answer the supplication for the one who supplicates. So let them supplicate, or let them ask me, and let them believe in me, so that they may be guided. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 186. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you seek assistance, then seek it from Allah. وَلَسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek assistance, then ask it of Allah. The Sheikh said, الْاسْتَعَانَ طَلَبُ الْعَوْنِ. Here, الْاسْتَعَانَ, the word here is to ask for assistance or to seek it. Seek help or assistance. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship, and you alone we seek aid or assistance from. So the Sheikh said, so the assistance is a type of worship. The assistance is a type of worship. And Allah جل وعلا هي يعني سورة الفاتحة he joined it with the عبادة يعني he preceded the عبادة first and then he mentioned الاستعانة seek assistance because it is يعني from the perspective of يعني mentioning some or mentioning something which is general and then specifying it. Yeah, نعم the عبادة is general and then specifying it due to its importance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Surah Al-Fatiha, he said, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. He mentioned the worship which is general, and he mentioned one type of worship or one example of worship. The second one is specific, the first one is general. يعني due to its importance, and the people should pay attention to it. Otherwise, the Shaykh said, it is just one type of worship. نعم. And he continues, Hafidhullah, and he says, and استعانة is just like asking. استعانة, seeking assistance or help, is just like asking, just like a سؤال. So if the person seeks assistance or aid from the creation in that which only Allah can do, then this is major shirk. This is major shirk. In the case that the person seeks assistance or aid with the creation in something that they are able to do, then this is permissible. However, to leave it is better. However, to leave asking them, even if they can do it, is better. Because in it is lies humiliation for the person. And also showing need to the people. And also that the fact that you suffice yourself, and the fact that you suffice yourself with Allah Azza wa Jal is better for you. The fact that you suffice yourself with Allah Azza wa Jal is better for you. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and know that if the ummah were to gather together, نعم, the Shaykh said, if all the creation gather, all of the creation, if they gather, على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. If the all nation, or the Shaykh said, all of the creation gather to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you except with something which Allah had prescribed for you. Meaning, the Shaykh said, he decreed for you, and he had written it for you in the preserved log, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if they were together to harm you in something, they would not harm you except with something that Allah has written against you. The Shaykh said, this includes Iman in the Qadha al-Qadr, in the pre-decree and the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that the people cannot benefit the person or harm him except with which Allah has prescribed for them. From harm or benefit. فهم سبب فقط. So what the people do is just a reason for this benefit or harm. What the people do is just a reason, or what the harm or the benefit that the people cause is just a reason when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written already for him. وَأَمَّا النَّافِعُ الضَّارُ فَهُوَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. As for the person who can benefit, as for the one who can benefit and harm the people, is only Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى. When Allah commands them, they will be able to benefit you. When Allah Azza wa Jal commands the people and He allows it and He permits the people to benefit you, they would benefit you. And if He did not permit it and He did not command them, they would not benefit you. And when He commands them to harm you, or He permits that they harm you, they will harm you. So upon you is to have faith in judgment and the pre-decree of Allah. After that, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the pens has been lifted and the pages have dried. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. The Shaykh said, the meaning of this is that the judgment and the decree of Allah جل وعلا had passed and had already been finished with, and it will not be changed. The decree of Allah Azza wa Jal and His judgment will not be changed. So anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed will not be changed. So the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, the pens have been lifted, meaning the Shaykh said, أي أقلام كتابة القضاء والقدر, meaning the pens which write that which is going to happen, everything that is decreed. نعم, everything that is decreed, the pens that write this have dried or have been lifted. عفوا, وجفت الصحف, the pages have dried. The Shaykh saying, meaning the pages which everything was written on. The pages have dried, meaning the pages which everything or all actions, everything that is going to be was written on. So the pages have dried. The Shaykh says, so this includes faith in the Qadha and Qadr, in the judgment and the pre-decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the advice to Ibn Abbas, or this advice was specifically to Ibn Abbas and other than him. other than him as well. So this advice was specific to Ibn Abbas. However, it is general for everyone, that everyone should believe in the judgment and the pre-decree of Allah. So if the slave believes in the judgment of Allah and his decree, then he will suffice himself with Allah. The person, the slave, will suffice himself with Allah from asking the people and from seeking assistance from the people. Na'am? In the majority of times, anyway. The Sheikh said, in the majority of times. So this was the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. And Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah, he further added to the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. However, the line was very weak, the line of connection, maybe due to the weather. So, inshallah, I'll mention the things that I have and which are quoted from the Sheikh's statements. Na'am. Yani through the lesson, maybe it was cut off sometimes, so I miss in between the lines I missed some things, so I only mention what the Sheikh mentioned, Hafidhullah. So he said, we have heard Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah, he said, we have heard this beneficial explanation from a long hadith. We have heard this beneficial explanation from this long hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be mindful to Allah. Be mindful to Allah and He will preserve you. So the Sheikh said, this statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is few in words. However, the meaning that it has is very big and very large. And it is not something which you can mention in a position or in a situation like this. You cannot include everything that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to, or all the benefits which you can derive from this few words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a place like this. Now, so this is not the time or the place to mention all of them. However, the Sheikh said, to be mindful, for the person to be mindful to his Lord, meaning to be mindful to the religion of his Lord, to be mindful in regards to the religion of his Lord in everything that it is included in it, yani from fundamentals, branches of the religion, commandments, prohibitions, halal, haram, any news, yani any things, any narrations, any news from the we find in the religion of Allah, any admonitions, any affairs which softens the heart, everything. The Sheikh said, you be mindful to the religion of Allah. And other things which also cannot be mentioned in one sitting. Na'am. So Allah Jalla wa Ala, He made, yani, or He rewards the person who does this, who is mindful of his religion, who is mindful of Allah and he's mindful of his religion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him and He will preserve him. Na'am? So the person who is mindful to the religion of Allah and he worships Allah according to his religion and he knows, na'am, that he was created to establish and to implement and to follow this religion, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reward him. And the reward will be according to his action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him and the reward will be according to his actions. So whosoever was whosoever preserves the religion of Allah, and also the Sheikh said, so Allah will reward him according to his action, and whosoever Allah will reward him and Allah will protect him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve all of his affairs and he will look after all of his affairs and he will fulfill all of his needs in this life and in reference to his religion and in relation to this life. And so on, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sheikh said, acknowledging and knowing Allah and that which necessitates or that which results from knowing Allah Jalla wa Ala. And the Sheikh said, this is by way of following the commands of Allah, anything which is made obligatory for the person or anything which was recommended for the person. Yani following all of these and implementing them, all of them are virtuous actions. Na'am? Except that the obligations and obligatory acts, it is not permissible for anyone to have shortcoming in them. Na'am? Except, of course, that which is unable to do. All of the obligatory affairs, that is not for the person to neglect them or to have, or to abandon them, except that which the person cannot carry out himself. And the Sheikh said, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Allah, this results in the reward or the beautiful reward in this life, in the life of the grave, and in the life of the hereafter, in the hereafter as well. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, know Allah in the times of ease, and He will know you in the times of hardship. Know Allah in the times of ease, and He will know you in the times of hardship. So the Sheikh said, meaning here, when you know Allah in the times of ease, meaning as long as you are secure, you're under the state of security, and you are healthy, and you have the ability, and you have the choice, na'am, and you have this khair, this goodness, yes, then strive your most into fulfilling the commandments of Allah, and into striving in His worship, beginning with, or yeah, the first stage being seeking knowledge. First stage being seeking knowledge with the correct intention. Seeking knowledge with the correct intention, and this intention is that you learn, you lift the ignorance from yourself, you act upon what you learn, and you teach it, and you become patient, or you become patient upon that which يعني, befalls you in the way of spreading this knowledge, and also being patient in all the difficulties that you face. قال يعرفك في الشدة. So the Messenger ﷺ said, Allah will know you in the times of hardship. Know Allah in the times of ease, He will know you in the times of hardship. And the Sheikh said, here, the hardship is referring to whether in this life, the life of the grave or the hereafter. Any hardship that you face in those three يعني, abodes or those three stages, Allah will يعني, help you. And this is from the generosity of Allah, that He rewards His slaves, those who are upright upon His religion. He will reward them in the day of calamities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them in a day of calamities and a day of severe suffering. And also in the time of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also will help them in the time of death and also in the grave when the person is asked those three questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. And also in the day of judgment in the hereafter, which the calamities and the difficult things which can be found in the Quran. Yes, all of those in reference to the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the hereafter, all of those difficulties and the calamities and the hardships that the person faces in that day, all can be found in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also help him in those. So the Shaykh said this hadith is one which attracts those with intellect. This hadith is one which attracts those people of intellect that they should rush towards and should seek to establish their religion in themselves and in their families and in the people that they know. Naam. So this hadith pushes them to establish their religion in themselves and in their families and offspring and also in their friends and the people that they know. And the Sheikh said this is a general advice. This is a general advice to the Ummah when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, then ask only Allah. If you were to ask, then ask only Allah. And the Sheikh said, we have heard the detailing of the matter of asking. Na'am, and also isti'ana. We have heard the detailing of the Sheikh Salih Fawzan of the matter of seeking assistance and asking. As for isti'ana, Sheikh said, as for isti'ana, seeking assistance and aid of Allah, or just in a general sense, seeking assistance or aid, the Sheikh said, it is from the types of worship that the person should have sincerity while fulfilling. And also he should direct it, or he should direct anything which only Allah is able to carry, he should only direct it to Allah. He should not direct something which only Allah can do to other to the creation or to the people. And the Sheikh said, as for isti'ana bil makhluq, يعني seeking the assistance or the aid from the creation or someone who's created in anything that they can carry out or they are able to do, then there is no harm in this. There is no sin upon the person, or يعني there is no harm or difficulty for the person. He is allowed to do this in fulfilling the needs of this life, يعني in his life of his affairs. Just like when the people need each other, sometimes the people need each other to fulfill some needs and some of their affairs, then there is no harm in this, the Sheikh said. Then Iman bil Qadr, to have faith in the pre-decree. To have faith in the pre-decree. The Sheikh said, as we have studied previously or in the previous lessons, that this pillar is from the greatest pillars of Iman, Arkan Iman, from the pillars of Iman, from the six pillars of Iman. And whosoever does not believe in the Qadr, in the pre-decree, then he has no Iman. Yes, he has no Iman for the person who does not believe in the pre-decree. For this reason, or therefore, Allah had obligated for every Muslim, male or female, that they believe in everything that Allah decrees, and also to have faith in the judgment of Allah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decreed everything before the creation of the heavens and the earth and before the creation of everything. Naam. And the pen had written all of this. The pen had written all of things which are going to happen. Naam. And the Shaykh said, and this is from the, taken from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah, the first thing Allah had created was the pen. The first thing that Allah had created was the pen. So the Shaykh said, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, the decree of all the affairs or all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed will not change. Everything that Allah had decreed will not change. And however, it is not permissible for someone to understand from this that you abandon the actions. Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed everything. So the Shaykh said, it is not permissible, however, for anyone to understand from this that he should abandon the actions or the acts of worship, because with yani using the proof that Allah had decreed everything. Allah had already decreed everything and it will not be changed. So the Shaykh said, you should not take the understanding that you can leave the actions because Allah had decreed it. However, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by some Sahaba, some of the companions, when they said to him, فَفِيمَ الْعَمَلْ, so why do we, يعني, when he was telling them about the qadr of Allah, the pre-decree of Allah, so they said to him, so why do we act then? Why do we carry out good deeds or good actions? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. He said, carry out your deeds or carry out your actions, because everyone will, that which he was created for will be made easy for him. That which he was created for will be made easy for him. They said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before that, the Shaykh, يعني, he went back to the hadith and he said, before that, they said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَلَا نَتَّكِلْ, should we not rely upon this? Should we not rely upon this? يعني, upon that which was decreed. Should we not just rely upon that? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. He said, لَا اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرُ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. He said, no. يعني, still fulfill your deeds, fulfill your actions, because everyone will be, that which he was created for will be made easier for him. Will be made easy or accessible for him. So the Shaykh said, so whosoever is from the people of happiness, the people of happiness and joy, then this person, his actions will be made easy and accessible for him. And likewise, on the other hand, the people of misery and those miserable people, their actions will be made accessible and easy for them as well, if they are from the people of misery. Naam. So the Sahaba, they asked this, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, act, even though he told them that everything is decreed. This increased them in their worship. This increased them in their worship and in their striving upon obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what is an obligation upon the person. This is what is obligatory upon the person to do the same. Naam. And last statement of the Shaykh was out of context, really, by Allah Alam, the meaning of this, but he said, so there's no excuse. يعني, after the line was cut off, he mentioned that there is no excuse for the person who has any shortcoming. Naam, this is, so basically it's just to conclude what he was saying, and he said there is no excuse for the person who has any shortcoming in the, or any neglect in the worship of Allah or in the obedience of Allah, while he is able to carry it out, using or claiming that everything is decreed. Naam. So there's no excuse, the Shaykh said, for the one who is neglectful or who has shortcoming in relation to worshiping Allah, claiming that everything is decreed. So the Shaykh said there's no excuse for this person. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.